Turning with me here tonight to Matthew chapter 6, verse 16 through 18. And going to talk tonight from these three verses, teach tonight. And I hope you had a wonderful new year. And what a service we had last Wednesday night, communion. And then just a wonderful time of worship and fellowship afterwards. Carnita tacos on Sundays. So to God be the glory. Thank you for coming tonight and worshiping with us. And God's doing wonderful things. The word of the Lord says, moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, that they have their reward. Verse 17 says, but thou, when thou fastest, somebody say, when you fast, anoint thy head and wash thy face. That means comb your hair and clean up. Doesn't literally mean to get oil and anoint your head. That was an Old Testament, New Testament. During that culture, that was what they would refer to as cleaning up. So that thou mayest not appear unto men to fast, but also thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which is in secret shall reward thee openly. And I want to talk to you on this topic. When ye fast, turn to your neighbor and tell him it's time to fast. Oh, you're scared. Tell your neighbor it's time to fast. We could do better than that. Tell him, tell your other neighbor it's time to fast. Time to fast. God bless you as you're seated in the presence of the Lord. Fasting is something that we in the Apostolic Pentecostal movement, we talk a lot about, but sometimes it's the most challenging thing for us to do. Because we're known to go out to eat after church. Some of you remember back in the old days, you know, Sunday night, you'd go out to eat, whether you had money or not. I'll just get a salad, you know, and some water. But fasting is just as much apostolic as worshiping the Lord and tithes and offering and being a praiser. And the scripture gives us some precedence. It says, not if you fast, but when you fast. And fasting is going without food for a period of time in order to spend time in prayer and consecration to the Lord. It's going without something meaningful to draw closer to the Lord. And it's really the ultimate self-denial, because you could tell that I don't miss very few meals, right? I don't skip too many meals, and fasting is something that is near and dear to our hearts, because we like to we eat 3, 4, 5 times a day, 2 times a day, some high metabolism, we eat more than that, etc. But this is something that is biblical, and we see Jesus talked to us about it. Tonight I'm going to attempt to share with you just some parameters, a focused approach on fasting. And I want to remind you that this is just a high-level summarization on the topic of fasting. We quite easily could spend 5, 6, 7 weeks on a sermon series on fasting. I do know that there's several books out there. I recommend the book Fast Forward. There's sermons on our website taught by Brother Durazic that we have reloaded, so they show up first about fasting. Sister Victoria's got a tremendous lesson from a minister from the L.A. area about fasting. So what I'm going to do tonight is just kind of bring summarization about fasting, and this will make sense to you here in a little while. But fasting must be unto the Lord. Amen. There's got to be preparation for it mentally and spiritually. It's a spiritual hunger for more. Somebody say, I want more. It's really helping us understand our absolute dependence on God. It's self-denial. It's bringing the flesh under the spiritual authority of the Spirit. The Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And so Colossians 3:2 tells us to set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. Fasting is a journey. It's spiritual growth. And it must include prayer. What I'm talking about tonight, I know there's health benefits, etc., but I'm a pastor, so I'm going to talk from a spiritual perspective. And when we pray, we fast. And when we fast, we pray. It goes hand in hand. And you and I need to pray and to fast. We've got to do more of it. In fact, the last two and a half years, we've set aside Thursdays until Jesus comes as our focus fast day at Revival Tabernacle. And here at the onset of the year, I'm teaching on fasting because I want us to all regroup from the distractions of the holiday season to a spiritual consecration with prayer and fasting. In fact, most of you will receive a letter in the coming days in the United States mail, and it will explain in detail the agenda that I will discuss to the church on Sunday, Vision Sunday, that I'll talk about. But we're going to go on a 21-day fast as a church. And when we fast, it's a real weapon in our spiritual arsenal. And it shows the Lord and it shows us that we're serious about our prayer request, but we're going to have to pay the personal price for it. In fact, Jesus said, when ye fast. How many of you want to be more like Jesus? Jesus fasted for 40 days. Matthew 4:2 tells us when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungered. We've had a wonderful time of fellowship, season greetings, celebration, holidays. There's still some folks on vacation right now as we speak. It's time off, sleeping in. All the kids say, I sleep in. No, the kids don't sleep in, huh? Wow. All the adults say, I wish I could sleep in. And here we are at the beginning of the new year, 2023, and this is going to help us focus on seeking first the kingdom. It's fasting. It's about connecting with God. I want to make sure for those of you that are taking notes that you write this down. Fasting is connecting with God. It's denying what we normally do physically so that we can open up spiritual channels and closeness of clarity with the Lord. And in order for us to move together in a spirit of dominion and see what God has for us, we need to have a spiritual consecration. The first point I want to make tonight is fasting helps us with spiritual consecration. Fasting is a great way to reset, refocus as we enter into a new year, but before executing, we've got to first understand the purpose or the purposes of fasting. And one of the purposes is consecration, which is drawing closer to God. We look in the scripture in Jeremiah 29:11. The scripture says, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. Excuse me. Then you shall call upon me, you shall go and pray unto me and hearken unto me, and you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all of your heart. When you see that word consecration, it means devotion. It's set apart to devote or dedicate for a particular purpose. Talking about consecration and being consecrated is different. We could talk about being consecrated. We make statements. I make statements like this myself. Been in the church at the time, you probably have made the statement yourself. We need to pray and fast about it. How many of us truly pray and fast about it? Romans 12:1 says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourself, your bodies, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind that may approve what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Fasting and prayer can restore your spiritual intimacy with God. It's a blessing to be able to fast. It's challenging, but it's powerful. We've got a lot of distractions. we have a lot of excuses. But there's always going to be distractions and excuses. But when you're dedicated or consecrated to something, you don't let any excuse or distraction prevent you from completing your task. All of us are here tonight because it's important for us to be here. It's important for you to be here. And when you fast, it's putting something that we, for our entire lives, have done. I do it well. I eat well. And when you fast, you're putting that on hold. So you could spend that time focusing on the Lord, consecrating ourselves to the Lord. I want you to view fasting as a blessing. It's a time of spiritual consecration so we can see spiritual results. Don't be afraid or intimidated. Just embrace it. If you're doing it for you and unto the Lord. I'm going to lead you. I'm going to encourage you. We're going to do it together. But when it's all said and done, you will get out of it what you put into it. So make some time for spiritual consecration. When you feel those hunger pains, you see that juicy double-double, animal style, you can smell it on the 101 when you pass by it. Smell the cookies. I got to stay away from certain parts of town the next 21 days. I got to stay away. Let's be real. I got to stay away from the red taco truck. I got to stay away. But you're bringing your flesh and mind into spiritual consecration. And you're reminding yourself of the spiritual intimacy and results you have with the Lord. This takes discipline. Fasting teaches us that we can live with a whole lot less. But Paul writes in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Somebody give God a hand clap of praise. So, the time you would use to have lunch with somebody, you use that time to pray. Meditate on the Lord. Read your Bible. Read a devotional. Time you would use to cook a meal or eat a meal, use that same time to pray, to meditate. Spend some time with the Lord, a devotional. Think about all the time we use up eating and cooking meals and meeting up for coffee or lunch and barbecuing and baking. It adds up. Think about all the money we're going to save. When you fast, it's getting ourselves wrapped up in the intimacy of the Lord. We're drawing closer to Him so that we can be aligned with His will and His purpose. James 4:8 says, draw nigh unto God. He'll draw nigh unto you. Excuse me. The Lord is nigh unto them that call upon Him. To all that call upon Him in truth. I want you to view the next 21 days as a spiritual boot camp. To get an alignment with the Lord. For spiritual results for you and your family. Your ministry, your business, your finances, your health, your relationship with God. That's a time of consecration, preparing us for the spiritual assignments that the Lord has waiting for us. Second point I want to make tonight is things happen when we fast. Isaiah 58:6 says, is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness? To undo the heavy burdens? Let the oppressed go free? That you break every yoke? Think about that. When you're fasting and you get into that fast, the goal is to draw closer to the Lord so things can happen. Most of the times, things are going to happen to you. You're like, well, I'm fasting because I got a neighbor I want the Lord to move out. Maybe the Lord will teach you the reality of love your neighbor as yourself during that fast. Excuse me. Sometimes it happens, things happen to others. Other times things happen in the spirit realm. But something always happens. I have found that I receive absolute clarity and dependence on the Lord during a fast. Because we're depending on Him. We're not leaning on our own understanding. But we're leaning on the Lord. The early church in the book of Acts spent time fasting and praying when making spiritual leadership decisions and releasing ministries. Acts 13 and 3 tells us, when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. Acts 14 and 23 says, when they had ordained them elders in every church, they had prayed with and had prayed with fasting. They commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. In fact, before Sister Pinero and I came to Pastor RT, I was feeling a transition coming, and my pastor, so Sister Pinero and I started praying and fasting, and my pastor called me in the office, and he says, transition's coming, and I don't know what it is, but just I need you guys to start praying and fasting. Well, we had already started praying. It up. We started praying and fasting more and longer, and we did that together for 1 year before or during that time the transition began to open up here at RT. But this was something that we did on our own order to prepare ourselves for whatever the next level God was positioning us for. And listen, during that time, I took another job with about $1,000 less a month bring home. It's a lot of money. So that I could be more available to the kingdom. And some of you in leadership are about to be released to another level of spiritual dimension and authority because of the prayer and fasting you're about to do in the next 21 days. You'll find yourself with an anointing like never before. You'll be more sensitive to allow the fruit of the Spirit and or the gifts of the Spirit to be manifested. This happens when we fast. Things happen when we fast. Bands of wickedness is loosed when we fast. Let's consider the book of Esther. Read it for yourself this week. But in Esther chapter 7 and 6, it says, Esther said, the adversary and enemy is this wicked Haman. A wicked man by the name of Haman was out to get the people of God. He was out to kill them, torment them, intimidate them, destroy them. My Lord. She was positioned in the kingdom for such a time. Think about that. We see that in Esther 4 and 14. But she led the people on a fast to loose the bands of wickedness. She had it all good, easy peasy, right there in the palace. But she began to feel a burden, and they came to her, and her uncle came to her. And in Esther 4 and 16, she says, gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan and fast ye for me. And she says, I'll do likewise. I'll fast likewise. And she said, and then I'll go to the king in verse 16, and I'll do that which is not according to law. I'll go and do what needs to be done, what is right, even though it's against the law, but because we're on a fast in unity, I'll go and do it. And she says, if I perish, I perish. And Mordecai, the scripture says, did all according to what Esther had requested. And we know the rest of the story, but listen. There was deliverance that took place because of a unity of fasting. Because when you fast, things happen. Repentance takes place. Fasting helps us focus on our primary responsibility, and that is seeking first the kingdom of God. That's our first priority. That is what we need to be doing. And fasting helps us train our hearts and minds to turn away from the world's distractions and press towards the reward that awaits us. And we see that repentance takes place. We're gonna see prodigals that are gonna get back, whether it's here or somewhere else, back at where they need to be, because a mama or an uncle or a brother or a church is praying and fasting, and they begin to repent because things happen when you fast. We see a multitude of people repenting because a man of God got in a spiritual alignment with the Lord's plan. And notice this. We see in the book of Jonah, it's only four chapters long, but the scripture says, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, Jonah 3:1, and says, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching which I bid thee. Notice verse 3. Jonah rose, went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. And Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. It took him 3 days to get across through the city to talk about and to preach what the Lord gave him to preach. And notice what the scripture says Jonah preached. Verse 4. It says, and Jonah began to preach, and he cried and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. That was the sermon. Short and sweet and to the point. Verse 5 says, notice this. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast from the greatest of them to the least of them. These people were so extreme that the animals even fasted. Now, I don't recommend that, but the animals even fasted. Verse 7 says, the king, there was a decree saying, let neither man or beast, nor herd, nor flock taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water. Repentance and restoration took place because an entire city heeded the voice of God that God used through a man. And they went on a fast. And there was restoration that took place. Jonah chapter 3:10 says, and God saw their works, that they had turned from their evil way. And God did not allow the destruction to take place, which he initially was going to allow. Tell your neighbor, things happen when you fast. Spiritual strongholds are broken and deliverance takes place when you fast. Generational sins, regional strongholds. We've got some regional strongholds that I feel, and I know I've been fighting that we're gonna break some of those things. We've got some things that you're fighting and facing in your family, but when you fast, things begin to change and happen. There's a release that takes place and happens. Matthew chapter 17, verses 14 through 21. This same story can be found in Mark 9 and in Luke 9. But we see a father bringing his demon-possessed son to Jesus. And Matthew 17 and 18 says, and Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Later on, the disciples asked Jesus a question. And in verse 19, Matthew 17 and 19, they asked him, why could not we cast him out? Why couldn't we cast out the demon? And Jesus tells him, Matthew 17 and 21, tells him that this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. Matthew 17 and 21 says, this kind goeth not out by prayer and fasting. There's been some things that some of you have wrestled with for such a long time. And I'm going to tell you, in the next 21 days, things are going to change and happen. Amen. First and foremost, spiritual intimacy, but some things are going to be broken and going to change and happen. There's going to be some restoration, some release, some repentance. There's going to be some victory, some testimonies. God's about to do some things because things happen when we fast. Jesus is telling them that the key, listen, to spiritual power is found in prayer and fasting. I am a product of a mom who fasted every Sunday for 1 year for my spiritual restoration. Think about that. Think about a pastor's wife of a church that every Sunday for 1 year fasted for her backslidden son. That's challenging. That means that that she, there was a lot, because you go out to eat on Sunday back in the day, right? 21 years ago. And I stand here tonight as a testimony of a mother that said, you know what? Things are going to change. Things are going to happen. And she would pray and fast for 1 year. And here I am tonight, testimony of the goodness of the Lord, of a mother who prayed and fasted for a prodigal son. Sister Pinero and I, on many occasions in our marriage and ministry, have united in prayer and fasting in order to receive clarity, direction, submission, see things happen. But it was prayer and fasting together. Daniel was an interpreter of dreams, but he was a man of prayer and fasting. I mean, he was so amazing that the Lord gave him, trusted him with interpreting dreams, and not only interpreting dreams, put him in the lion's den. Not only that, it's so amazing that we're still waiting for some of those prophecies to take place today because of a man that prayed and fasted. Daniel fasted and received understanding about things. God gave him visions. The Lord would release angels. The spiritual warfare, it's not just some mystical, real spiritual warfare that's taking place right now. And we're about to break some strongholds because we're going to about to pray and fast, and God is going to dispatch some angels. One angel destroyed a city of 185,000 enemy soldiers. Could you imagine what the Lord can do for us with some of the things that we pray and fast for when we get in spiritual enemy with him and we have an army of 200 at RT that is praying and fasting? Daniel 9 and 3 says, "And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek prayer and supplications with," notice this, "with fasting." Daniel fasted, and God sent an angel as a response to Daniel's prayer. How awesome would that be if God sent an angel as a response to your prayer? It required a man by the name of Daniel to be all in. I mean, there's even a fast named after him. Daniel 10 and 3 tells us, "I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all, till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled." For 3 weeks. The third point I want to make tonight, my last point, is how bad do you want it? And I'm going to put in quotation marks, "it." Whatever it is for you. The breakthrough? The deliverance? The anointing? The closeness to the Lord like you had when you first received the Holy Ghost and got into church. The new convert zeal and love. How bad do you want it? Your prodigals to come home. How bad do you want the spiritual authority? Some of you need to fast so you can get in spiritual authority and alignment and get under subjection not only to your pastor but to the will of God. Get over that spiritual apathy and get on fire for God. Come on, somebody. I didn't get too many amens. Bury that critical attitude. Let it stop with you and not go on to your kids and grandkids. Which may have been something you were in the world, but this is not the world. We're not contending for anything but the faith. That's all. We're not even fighting the devil. He's under our feet. Come on, somebody. When you fast in unity, things happen. But how bad do you want it? Galatians 5 and 16 says, "Walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusted against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other." Notice this. So you cannot do the things that you would. Whatever you feed, will grow. Whatever you feed will grow. It's time to start starving the carnal man. Start starving worldliness, carnality, carousing around with the things of this world, and get in alignment, not just in alignment with God, but in alignment with one another, in alignment with the pastor. We've over the last 3 or so months, we have had such a unity in this church that I haven't seen in a long time. It's a beautiful, precious thing. It's a God thing. It's awesome. It was packed out last Wednesday night. I understand there's a storm coming and things of that nature, sickness, but I tell you what, God is doing something in you, in this church, in me, in this region. And we're going to go to the next level, and that requires us to fast. It's time to starve out the bitterness and the fears. I'm probably not going to get too many amens with this statement, but it's time to starve out the excuse making. Just saying. Starve out the, well, if they ask me to do it, then I will, but if not, I'll sit by as revival and harvest passes me right by. Do you know that it's easier to keep up than it is to start again? Right? Those of you that are power lifters and work out, it's easier to just stay working out than it is to stop and do it again. It's easier to save that $100 a month than it is to write that $1,200 check at the end of the year. Oh, when we get our income tax return, we'll put it in savings. How about we just do a little bit at a time? It's the same thing in the spirit realm. We got to keep in step with the spirit. We got to keep in step with the spirit. We got to stay filled with the spirit. We got to starve some things out. I want the spirit to grow. I want my life to grow. I want my ministry to grow. I want a greater anointing. I want to see things change in the atmosphere in this region. I want to see your kids come back to church. I want to see your family. I want to see your business grow. I want to see you on fire for God. I want to send more people out to see God do some great thing. But it's time to fast. It's time to fast. Notice Galatians 5:24. It says, "And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts." Notice this. "If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." The spiritual readiness is upon us. I don't know if you can sense that. And I feel a spiritual readiness, not just upon us locally, but I feel a spiritual readiness in the apostolic Pentecostal movement where we're starting to see that if God did it for them, God could do it for us. And not every church shrunk during the pandemic, and we're an example of that. And not everybody's quitting and backsliding, but God is doing not just a new thing. God is doing a work, and we're going to fast. We're going to do what Joel said, blow the trumpet in Zion, call a solemn assembly, and begin to fast. And then he said, you know what, I'm going to give visions and dreams, and I'm going to pour out my spirit upon all flesh. It's because people fast and pray. I have great anticipation for what God is going to do through you if we stay in spiritual alignment with him and unify together as a body. Come on, somebody. You getting united with the Lord because you're getting closer to him. The closer you get to him, the more there begins to be a resemblance of him with you, a reflection. And the further away you get from him, the further you begin to emulate or resemble him. And when you're with unity with the Lord, you can't help but get spiritually united with one another. Your faith begins to be strengthened. When you fast, your faith begins to be strengthened. Whatever measure of faith it is, it begins to grow and increase and it begins to get strengthened. But how bad do you want it? Think about this. Moses fasted and received a word from the Lord. Think about this. He fasted for 40 days. And during that time, he received the Ten Commandments. Exodus 34:28 tells us, and he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. Did neither eat bread nor drink water. And he wrote upon the tables the word of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. What would have happened if Moses chose not to fast? What would have happened if Moses said, I'm not available? Somebody sometime back said, well, I can't fast. Really? Wow. You can always fast. You can find a way to fast. Extreme time calls for extreme measures. How bad do you want it? Fasting requires discipline, consecration. It requires faith and faithfulness. Fasting and prayer positions us spiritually in a way where we can readily recognize and be available for the next steps. I want the next steps with God. When we fast and you want something bad enough, you'll save the money. You'll work harder. When you want to get out of debt, you'll get that second job. You won't quit. You'll get up early or you'll stay up late. It consumes you. It's all you can dwell on. You mentally and emotionally don't allow the distractions and temptations to stop you from being all in. Same thing spiritually when we fast. You push through the weariness and feed the mind with spiritual food. Sermons, Bible reading, good Christian music, prayer meeting. Somebody say prayer meeting. Church services, ministries like Shelter U, Stronger Families, Ladies. Imagine what would happen if we did what we often talk about. We actually prayed and fasted. It's humbling. Psalms 35 and 13 says, I humbled my soul with fasting. Fasting will help us move and change some things in our life as we get closer to the Lord, bring some things in submission because we're denying some stuff. He must increase and I must decrease. Think about Nehemiah. I'm almost coming to a close. Think about Nehemiah, the king's cupbearer. He went on a fast because of a situation that took place. And it wasn't even his situation or problem. But he got under a burden and began to fast. And we know the rest of the story. Do we desire the microphone and the platform, but not the altar of prayer and fasting? Do we crave the comforts of finance, but disregard the labor of prayer and fasting? How bad do we want it? Do we want the accolades and the validation of titles more than seeking the will of God? God promises to reward the diligent seeker. So, beginning January 9th, Monday, January 9th, ending January 30th, I'm asking that every day you as a family or individual fast, eating only one meal a day. Some of you are like, whew. Spend 15 minutes in focused prayer and fasting. And spend 15 minutes in focused prayer in the morning and 15 minutes in the evening. Please stay hydrated in between. And I'll talk more about the rest on Sunday. But as we stand tonight, the scripture tells us in 2 Chronicles 7 and 14, it says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. Fasting is humbling ourselves. And pray. Somebody say pray. Seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. It's the anointing that breaks the yoke. It's fasting that draws us closer to the Lord. The ultimate thing we're doing is for the glory of the Lord and to draw closer to the Lord. If we keep that mindset, things will happen. We got to consecrate ourselves.